The Gerontological Society of America, Meaningful Lives as We Age.
Welcome to this GSA Momentum Discussions podcast episode titled Alter, Empowering African-American Churches to Support Members with Dementia and Their Families. Momentum Discussions highlight topics experiencing great momentum in the field of gerontology. We're grateful to Genentech, Eisai, Lilly, and Otsuka for their support of the GSA Care Toolkit for Primary Care Teams and today's podcast. My name is Jen Pettis, and I'm the Director of Strategic Alliances at the Gerontological Society of America, or GSA, and I'm pleased to serve as the host for today's Momentum Discussion. I'm honored to be joined by Dr. Faron Epps for this podcast episode. Dr. Epps is a professor and the inaugural Karen and Ronald Herman Distinguished Chair in Caregiving Research at UT Health San Antonio School of Nursing. She is a GSA member and serves on the GSA Board of Directors, and she's the founder of ALTER, a program that equips faith communities to serve and enrich the lives of all members, including those with dementia and their families. Dr. Epps, I'm so glad you could join me today.
Oh, thank you, Jen, for the invite. I am glad to be here.
Well, I'll go ahead and get started. I'd like to just ask you if you'd discuss a bit about the ALTER program in general. So just give us kind of a high-level overview of it.
ALTER is a program where we partner with predominantly Black congregations, Black faith communities across the country to equip them with the resources, the tools that they need so they can better support their parishioners and also the community at large that they serve. You know, many times we were finding out in my work in the community, I was finding out that a lot of people depended on their faith community, their church. But when I spoke with the leaders of the church, they were unaware of dementia, or they didn't have the tools so they can properly respond to the needs of their parishioner.
And I understand that this year you're celebrating 10 years of working in the community in creating a faith network committed to developing dementia-friendly congregations. What inspired you to start this work, and how that work you started become ALTER?
Yeah, so I have to say, maybe just to drill it down and to give credit to my mentor at that time, she actually started it. So as I finished my PhD and I was writing for my postdoc, all of my research in my PhD program and graduate program undergrad had been really related to family caregiving. And she challenged me to narrow it down to what type of family caregiving, who are these individuals caring for, supporting? What is that particular chronic disease or illness that they have? And so when I picked up some literature and I started reading, and I was always interested in groups that had been historically put at a disadvantage. And so I wanted to know, what are those things that are really impacting the Latinx community, the Black community? And when I ran across the facts and figures from the Alzheimer's Association, and this was back in 2012, 2013, maybe, and I seen these alarming numbers, I was shocked. And that's when I started drilling down and say, you know what? I want to find out more about dementia, find out really how I can help these caregivers that are caring for someone with dementia. And that's actually when I started the journey, meeting families that were on this journey and, you know, learning from them. And that started off in Louisiana, and it just carried through even when I moved to Atlanta 7.5 years ago. And as I moved to Texas, it would carry through. So it's all about meeting families and learning from them, learning what they're doing, how they're managing and going through, navigating their day. Also learning what do they need to continue to navigate through their caregiving journey.
Dr. Epps, how does ALTER support a congregation to become dementia friendly? And then how do you help them sustain their ALTER program once it's established?
Yeah, how do we support our programs? We actually developed a framework, a model that we introduced to our faith communities. And we have liaisons that will work with them that hold, number one, hold them accountable to the components of the model and them implementing those in the model. And we give them additional resources for them to continue to do the work. And that's where the sustainability comes in at. So as part of us partnering with them in the initial 2 years, it is us learning from them, them learning from us. We provide a lot of education to them and introducing them to new opportunities that they can then apply for additional funding, establish partnerships on their own that can help sustain programs. So we have done something with one of the managed care companies in the Atlanta area where they were then able to support some of our faith communities after the 2 years so they can continue to do if it's a food pantry or one of the activities that they're doing that's serving the older adults and these families that are affected by dementia. And so we have had a lot of opportunities doing that. And one of the things is we're building capacity. So I will tell you this, Jen, Alter, we're creating these dementia-friendly congregations, but overall, we're building capacity within our faith communities. And so I want to make sure when I walk away that they can still be able to continue these initiatives, continue to serve their parishioners, continue to serve the community. And many times we don't think about that in the beginning, but it's very important so we can have that strategically placed throughout the partnership so they can learn about how they can sustain this on their own. Now, they don't want to let us go, Jen.
I bet they don't.
I bet they don't.
So you work with them for a period of 2 years and then really build that program right alongside of them and then kind of give them the tools to continue it on their own. Is that right?
Yeah, somewhat right. Like I mentioned just a second ago, they don't want to let us go. So we actually had to, we're developing a legacy program. So at that 2 year mark, if they want to continue, they can still be a legacy partner with that. They just get less support.
I see. Okay. And then when you're in training in the churches, are you training just the church leaders or are you training others that will volunteer to support part of the program? Who do you train?
Yeah. So each faith community identifies ambassadors.
Oh, I see.
And so those ambassadors could be a current ministry leader or it could be someone that they want to appoint to work with us.
Great.
And those are the individuals that we work with, we coach, and then we train them up in order for them to deliver education. And then we also come in and deliver education, but they can now reach out to others. And so we teach them how to do those things and implement programs like respite programs and things like that within their community.
So you've mentioned some education. You mentioned the respite, some other programs like food pantry. What are some of the key program activities? And perhaps you can shed some light on what led you to develop those activities as part of the Alter program and maybe even how they've evolved over time.
Yeah. So a lot of the activities that we ask our churches to implement, they're informed by the evidence that's already out there. So it's not too many activities that we actually developed ourselves. As we pull from the literature, pull from great programs that already exist and sharing that with our faith community so they can now make a choice if they want to implement this or that. One of our common activities, which I would say is surprising, this really surprised me, a lot of our faith community selected to do memory cafe. So once we explained to them what this was, I was very shocked that some of our Black faith communities took that on. So they did that. We do have a few of our communities that really, once they understood what respite was, took that initiative on as well and, you know, are creative of how they do that. Education is very popular. The virtual dementia tour is another popular program as well. And then we have some of our faith communities, they've decided to do supply closets for families. So for caregivers, because of responding to the economic crisis and knowing that a lot of these materials or supplies that families need, family caregivers need, they may be unable to afford it. And so many of our faith communities have started supply closets. And then one pillar, Jane, I know we're talking a lot about education and support, but one of the things that really sets the Alter program apart is we don't forget the spirituality piece, that religion piece. And so we also work with our congregations and communities on how to modify worship experiences.
That's terrific.
And that has been well received.
That's
again,
great.
Surprisingly, to tell a faith leader to switch up and change their format or their service can be challenging or intimidating to some. But we have been able to do that, give rationales, and they've been very open.
Well, that's terrific. I know you and your colleagues have studied the outcomes of Alter. What have you learned?
Well, what we've learned is that build it and they will come. That is the biggest thing, especially in the Black community. We know this. This is in the literature. that there's so many people out here on this journey, they're not speaking about it. You know, I think years ago, people call it the silent epidemic. It still is the silent epidemic, especially in the Black community. And we've seen if our faith communities build resources, build supportive programs, they would see members in their congregation that have been there for 10 years, said nothing, now speaking up. So build it and they will come. I've heard, we have a lot of qualitative results, what we've heard from families themselves, family caregivers saying that they used to just sit in a corner and don't say anything. But now seeing them being involved in ALTR, now they feel empowered. Now they feel comfortable speaking up and sharing the diagnosis of their husband and how they may need help. Our faith leaders as well, you can see a big difference because now they're excited. You know, Jen, they call me and say, hey, I had a family join us, join church today, and they told us about their mom, and I told them what they needed to do and how they are still welcome, you know, and they're grateful because they said, before this being introduced to the ALTR program, they wouldn't have known how to respond at all. And we're in the process of developing a dementia-friendly community assessment tool. So I would love to come back and give you those results. But we surveyed a little over 1,300 Black parishioners in the state of Georgia as it relates to their assessment of their faith community and community at large as it relates to the dementia friendliness.
Terrific. I can't wait to learn about the results of that. We'll definitely have to talk about that and what people are really hearing on the street, so to speak, in their community. That's terrific.
Yes.
I'm also interested to learn a bit about the study that you and your colleagues conducted in which you examined the perceptions and attitudes of African-American congregants toward dementia before and after attending a dementia-focused workshop. Would you share a bit about what you learned?
Yeah, sure, Jen. And so this was early on when we were doing our education and before the program actually turned into a program. We would do a workshop called Dementia Friendly Workshop for Church Leaders. And one of our goals of that workshop was to see if we can ALTR the perception of how people in the Black community think and how they act towards someone living with dementia. And we used a free word association exercise in the beginning of the workshop, where you would give them, you'll say dementia, or we'll say Alzheimer's disease, and they will write the first couple of words that come to their mind. They will write that down, and we'll talk through that. You know, we'll post it. We had drew trees, and they'll put it on leaves, and we'll talk about that, and they'll share their experiences. And then after the four-hour workshop, we would repeat the exercise, give them leaves again, and have them write these phrases or words that come to mind. And then we'll post it up so they can see the difference. And out of all the workshops we've done, we've seen where in the beginning it was very negative, right? Doom and gloom, death, hopelessness, anger, loss was some of the words. Where at the end, it was love, hope, partnership, helpful. And that just really made our hearts smile, being able to see that, but then also showing it instantly to the attendees, how their thinking changed just in a matter of 4 hours.
This has been a really great discussion. And some of the things that I heard that really stuck out with me, we talked about the silent epidemic. And so many times this is, especially earlier in dementia, it's a condition we don't see, right? It's not a visible disability for folks. And so giving people the opportunity to feel welcome and included by empowering the churches to really meet their needs and create that inclusive environment is just so powerful. And I loved when you said, build it and they'll come. If you make these things available for the parishioners, they'll feel welcome and they will be there to have that support. What are a couple of key things you want to leave our listeners with?
I know we'll have all different types of folks listening, and I just want to encourage everyone, if you had a program in your heart, something that you see that can help out the community, I would say move forward with it and do it. I know there are so many people out here with great ideas on how they can support their faith community or community organizations, but they don't do it because they think of all the barriers. And I will tell you to build it and they will come as well. You know, so it's so important. The thing is, I say that because, Jen, I don't want to be the only person out here doing this. I need everyone. It takes a village for us to really meet the needs of these families, for us to change outcomes. It takes a village. And so I just want to encourage anyone, if you just have a small idea, because that's where this one started. It was just me coming up with something just outside of the box. It used to be called, Jen, Dementia Friendly Faith Village Community. It was this whole long name, right? And it just took one or two people to believe in me and say, we will volunteer our time. We will sacrifice to see, because we want to serve and we want to be able to help. And that's where it started, especially with the work specific with the churches. And I just want to encourage everyone. And then also, if there are any families that are listening, I want to ask you to share your experiences, share your testimony. We no longer can be silent. Families that are on this journey, we need to speak up. We need to advocate. We need to make sure that we get the resources that we need. So that's advocating at all levels, advocating within your family, within your care team, that includes your healthcare providers. So as you learn and become educated, advocate, speak up. There's no reason for you to be on this journey alone. And when you speak up, you're helping yourself. I firmly believe you're helping yourself, but you're also helping the next caregiver, the next family that is on this journey.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's a pretty great way to end. Dr. Epps, thanks so much for joining me and for sharing your insights and your passion for this wonderful program. Thanks to everyone who's listening to this episode of the GSA Momentum Discussion Podcast. We hope you found it informative and enjoyable. Thanks again, Dr. Epps.
Thank you.
The Gerontological Society of America was founded in 1945 to cultivate excellence in interdisciplinary aging research and education to advance innovations in practice and policy. For more information about GSA, visit geron.org. G-E-R-O-N.org.